fun here. This is my Father's world, and how true it is that we, so many times, we forget that it is God and God alone who has given us the mercy and the grace and showed us His mercy and His grace so that we can have eternal life through Him and Him alone. The portion of Scripture for today is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged to a marriage for his son, and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall well be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.' These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen." You may be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see Jesus is talking again to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees and the people of his day in parables. And the reason why he did that was because they would not believe him when he was speaking the truth. And when he spoke plainly, they would question him and want to know if this is really so. So he says, "I begin talking in parables, and I want you to know," he tells his disciples even, "that men will come in their own name, and people will listen to them and will follow them. But because I am telling you of a spiritual truth, many people will not follow us, and many people will not believe us." And as we see here, that this king had made a great feast, and this king is God himself, making the feast for the marriage of Jesus when he marries the church and at the end of time and when all eternity begins. And we see here too when it talks about the people that would reject him and didn't want to obey or listen or come to the wedding feast. He says these are the chosen people of God, which was the Israelites. And they refused to believe that Christ came into the world to die for their sins. They refused to accept Jesus, even though he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Even though the world was made by him, and the people in the world did not recognize him when he came unto his own. And many people, therefore, would not follow him because they wanted to know what they had to do for eternal life thinking it would be a gift given to them and they could keep on living like they always did. But when sin entered the world, we see that Satan has done everything he can to take and divert our hearts and our minds from believing on Jesus Christ, from believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and from trusting in him above all things. We see, too, that Satan will do everything he can to make our minds think that we are so important in and of ourselves, and that we can do it, and we are self-made people. And yet we see, even in the Old Testament, where it talked about Ahab, how he was changed and how he followed Jezebel's prodding and how he wanted to please her so well. He did everything against God, and he did everything he shouldn't, and he took and disobeyed the Lord, and he led the Israelites of that day into idolatry, and how he took and led them far away from Christ and far away from the way God wanted them to walk. And God sent Elijah to him, and he says, you know, what you have done is sinful, and you will pay for it. And you know, the story of Naboth, and I don't know if you people remember it, might be a while since you read about it, but he had a vineyard next to the king's, and the king liked it, and he kept well care of it, because Naboth was a man that trusted in God, and he had faith in God. And when he came home and he was laying on his bed, and Jezebel says, what's the matter? And he says, Naboth won't sell me his vineyard. I have offered him money. And he says, no, it has to stay in the family, because it was given to me and God has blessed us. And Jezebel says, you are the king. You can take anything you want. And so they had a meeting, and they had false witnesses come, and Naboth was killed. And then Ahab took the vineyard for himself, and God sends Elijah to tell and warn Ahab of what's going to happen to him, and how, because he had done this under false pretenses, and how he had murdered Naboth to get his vineyard, he himself would be killed, and his wife would be killed the same way, and that they would be suffered for eternity because they disobeyed God and they did their own thing, thinking that they could do it themselves. They thought they were self-made people, and they thought they didn't have to listen to anybody, and they didn't have any thought of eternity, and they didn't have any thought of what was going to happen to them after they died. And you know, we see that in death, those that believe in Jesus Christ, when they die, we know that they go to heaven. Those that reject Christ, we know they go to hell. And we know it is our duty as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, to warn those who are unruly, it tells us. And that we are to warn them and to make them realize that the day is coming in which Jesus will take and judge the whole world. And he will judge them for what they have said and what they have done. And that he will judge them because of what they have done against him. And you see, when the king had finished his great wedding and he had called all these people in that had been invited to the wedding, and they refused. Some of them says, I have a farm or I have land to go and see what it's doing. And others says, I have businesses or I have other things, oxen and stuff, I want to go check them out. One man says in the other gospel says, I married a wife and I cannot come. And he let his wife dictate to him that he doesn't have to follow Jesus Christ. And that's what Jezebel had told Ahab. And you see, God says, because they have refused, I have sent them other ministers and missionaries throughout the world, and they have killed them, and they have made fun of them, and chased them back, and done away. And God tells us, even today, Jesus says, you know, they will refuse to listen to you, and they will refuse to do what you say. because they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they do not believe God will punish them. And yet we are told that the day will come when they die and then the judgment. And we see so plainly that as this time comes, so many of them are fearful of death. And so many of them, if they know they're going to die, they start trying to call upon the name of the Lord. And they will call ministers in and they want them to pray for their health. And they want them to pray to get better because they're scared of death. And they know that beyond death, there is an eternity waiting for them. And yet, throughout their whole life, they have felt they didn't need Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we see this so much. People will make excuses, and people will try and say, I am good enough. I am a self-made person, and therefore what I do is what people will remember me by. And this may be true in a lot of cases, but you will be remembered in eternity of how you accepted or how you lived for Jesus Christ and how you treated him in your life here on earth. And we can take and we can look and see that the Jews rejected Jesus, and many of the Pharisees and many of us today we see people rejecting Christ today. We look at Judas Iscariot, for example. You know, he walked with Jesus for 3 years. He did miracles under Jesus' name. He went out and he prophesied for Christ. And he was one of the 70 that went out two by two, and they went out to many different cities. And yet he turned around and he rejected what Christ could give him in eternity for 30 pieces of silver. Because to him, what he could gain in his physical possession was more important than what he could gain in his spiritual possession, which is eternal life. And then when he seen what had happened to Jesus, it says he was sorry for what he did. And he went and he cast that money down at the feet of the high priests. And they says, we don't care. We have killed Christ because he was going against what we wanted. And Judas went out and hung himself. He was sorry for what he did, but he never sought repentance. And he never sought for the forgiveness of sins. Peter rejected Christ 3 times. He went out and wept bitterly. And yet, when he wept, he sought forgiveness of sins. And he was restored again to the fold of the 12 apostles, and one of the 12, because he sought the forgiveness of sins and for asking Jesus to forgive him, asking God to take away his sin, where Judas Iscariot didn't do that. Yes, they were both sorry for what they had done, but Judas refused to come and say, Lord, forgive me for what I have done. And we see a lot of people today that may be sorry for what they have done. And we can read, and they'll say, I'm sorry I did this or that. And most of the people that have received jail sentences or so forth have found they aren't so sorry for what they did. It's that they got caught doing it. And that they are sorry that they have to spend time in the physical prison as well as in the spiritual prison of death and damnation, because they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we can look back into the Old Testament times and we see Achan, you know, when they took on Jericho, God says, destroy everything and everybody. And yet Achan, he seen this gold and this apparel, and he took a few pieces for himself and he hid it in his tent. And then when they went to fight with Ai, they lost a battle which they should have never lost. And Joshua come before God and he says, what is it? You weren't with us. And God says, there's sin in your camp. And he told them how to find it out. And when they found out that Achan had done this, they took Achan and his family and all his possessions out and destroyed them, because God says, I will not allow sin in my camp. And in Isaiah, it tells us, God says, you know, when in eternity, there's going to be a highway in which we can travel, and sin will not enter onto or cross that highway into my kingdom. Sin will be out, cast out away from my kingdom, and sin will never, never be allowed in my kingdom. And therefore, if we feel we are self-made or we are more important than what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, we will find that we come to the short end of it in the end, because we will see that we cannot live and have eternal life without Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Moses, even, you know, when he took the people out of Israel or out of Egypt, and they were complaining about not having water, and God says, Moses, you go and command that rock to give you water. And Moses, because he was mad at the people at the time, he struck the rock with his rod, and water flowed out. And God said, because you did not believe that I could have water coming out of that rock in my command, you will not enter the promised land. I will show you the promised land from the mountain of Nebo, and you will die in the mountain of Nebo, but you will not cross over the Jordan into the land of milk and honey, which I have promised to your fathers and to your those before you and to your the people coming behind you. You see, rejecting Jesus Christ, we reject then salvation, and we reject what Christ can do for us. We find so many times that people have time for everything else. They have time to play, they have time to dance, they have time for everything in the world, but they don't have time for Jesus Christ. And we wonder why. And many of them will say, I have to make a living, and therefore we have to do this or we have to do that. And then when they get into serious trouble, they want to call upon God and they expect God to come and bail them out. And then they would only expect God to bail them out for the little time that they may need him, and that they don't want to serve Jesus Christ. They forget to realize that the human being rejects what God has done for us, that God has offered through his calling of us salvation so full and so free. And we see that, and as they killed the servants, it says, that was sent out, and they killed the people that wanted them to come into this wedding feast. The king was furious, and he went out, and he destroyed those people. And then he went into the highways and the byways, and he says, have all these people come unto me. And if we were going to take it into today's language of how Scripture is written, we would see this is when the gospel went from the Jewish chosen people to the Gentiles or into our world, and how we accepted Christ and came in, and we have says, Lord God, you are the man that has created the heavens and the earth. You have sent Jesus Christ into the world to pay for my sin. And I want this salvation through your son, Jesus Christ. And I believe you, Lord Jesus, that as you have told us, we must believe that God sent him into the world to die on the cross for us. I will accept this. And it says the Jews will become jealous, and they will want this same Jesus that we have, because they will realize this same Jesus is the Christ that came down to earth in the flesh and has died for each one of us so that we can have eternal life. If we were to look into 2 Timothy 3, chapter 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it tells us of the times in which we live. But know this, that in the last days, and this is when this sermon was written, that Jesus, this parable Jesus gave him, it talks about the last days. You know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power thereof. And we see that so plainly in the world we live in today. How many people will say there are many ways in which to get into heaven. And we've had people in high offices that'll claim that because the Bible was written years ago, that it's not prevalent today. It is prevalent today, and it will be prevalent all the days until Christ returns. And it was written by men who was moved by the Holy Spirit. And they wrote what the Holy Spirit told them to write. And yet we see that these perilous times are upon us because man has rejected what God has given to us for our own salvation. And yet then we see that this man that had come into this feast and he did not have a wedding garment on. Back in those days when they had a feast and a wedding, they gave a garment to each one that they could have the same type of garment on. And the garment then was given to each one of them to keep as a souvenir in remembrance of that wedding. And this man comes in and he says, I don't need Christ. He says, I don't need a garment. I'll go in because I am already self-made, and look at me and look at all these other people. They need something new, but I don't. And so when the king comes in, when God comes in and sees this man without a garment, he casts him out into outer darkness because that man had refused to have Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And it tells us, too, in Scripture that, you know, when people go out, when they go fishing, they would catch all kinds of fish, both good and bad. And then they would sit on the shore, and they would sort out the fish, and the good ones they would put into the vessels they want to keep. And those that were bad, they would throw away. And the same thing is in life. When we stand before God, and God judges us, how will our life stack up to what we claim to be? If we don't believe Jesus came into the world as our Lord and Savior, we have rejected him, and we have then condemned ourselves. It tells us in Scripture, Jesus says, by your own words, you will either condemn yourself or you will be justified. And it is by your own words that you will be saved or not. And Jesus has told us, you know, if you confess me before men here on earth, I will confess you before the angels in heaven, before God my Father, and you will be saved because you believe that I came into the world and died on Calvary's cross and rose again to save you from your sins. And we can see so much of how this goes on. And in Romans, of course, it tells us that if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus not only died but rose again from the dead and that he has saved us from our sins, for with the heart we believe and with the mouth confession is made that Jesus Christ himself came and died for our sin. That under the law, if we want to live under the law of the Ten Commandments, only and not accept the grace and holiness that God has given us through his Son Jesus, but we want to live only under the Ten Commandments, we will be the most miserable because we cannot keep those Ten Commandments. And those commandments or the law convicts us of sin, convicts us of our shortcomings. And then we see the grace and the mercy that God has given us by sending Jesus to die for our sins in the world. And you see then, too, that in even as Ahab was, that we would see that we would not be like him, but that we would be eternal, have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you see then, too, that we would not have to worry about being cast out into our outer darkness because of unbelief. Jesus tells us that if we believe and if we stand up for him, he will bless us. And he tells us, you know, that even though the world may hate you, remember it hated me first. If the world does not believe you, remember it did not believe me. And he wants us to know that many are called, but few are chosen, because there are very few that will continue standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ throughout their whole life. How is it then with each one of us, and how is it with you? Have you received that wedding invitation? Yes, you have. Have you accepted that wedding invitation to accept that garment that God wants to give you? And that's the grace and mercy and the forgiveness of sin that Jesus has given us on the cross of Calvary. If you have received that, you know you're a child of God. And as a child of God, you will have the Holy Spirit in you, leading you, teaching you. And as you read and study Scripture, it will lead you to proclaim him and him alone to those round about you, even in life, in death, in word, or indeed, that we can live for Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us and help us to serve you. Help us that as we sang earlier, stand up for Jesus, because he is the one that has given us the salvation, and he is the one that has given us eternal life through what he did on the cross and rising again the third day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 555.